Loving Kindness Meditation. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. May all beings be free from enmity and danger, free from mental suffering, free from physical suffering. May all beings take care of themselves happily. Hatred is never appeased by hatred in this world. By non-hatred alone is hatred appeased. This is an eternal law. Dhammapada 5. What is loving kindness? In Pali, loving kindness is called metta, which means gentleness, like a full moon. Metta also conveys friendliness, but mostly we think of metta as unconditional and universal love, pure love, without expectation from the other party. Love that makes no distinction between living beings. Metta is goodwill, a way of wishing others to be well and happy. With the practice of metta meditation, we develop a genuine wish for our own happiness as well as the happiness of others. When we develop metta for all beings by wishing them good health and happiness, we are the first to reap the benefits, as we become happy and peaceful ourselves. Metta may be appreciated by any person under any circumstance in life, although for many of us, it may be particularly useful when we must spend time with an angry person. If we live or work with an ill-tempered person, someone who is consumed with angry thoughts and violent acts, our heart burns with fear. We are always worried, gripped by anxiety. At such times, if we return metta to the angry person, we can come to know and clearly understand the serene and peaceful quality that settles upon not only our own life, but on the life of the angry person as well. As we radiate thoughts of metta, anxiety subsides and peace develops within our heart. We begin to fully understand metta's true value. The recipient, too, experiences the peace of mind, although they may not understand why. Their anger will be eased and they will be more pleasant to be around. When we live or work in the shade of a person who has the quality of metta, we feel serene and peaceful. Metta is an expression of pure love. We sincerely wish others to be well and happy, free from all danger, diseases, and calamities, and free from all mental and physical suffering. We give warm wishes unconditionally and genuinely. There is never a wish for anything that is not beneficial. Most of us find it easy to wish that our good friends will be well and happy, but it is often very difficult to wish that same happiness and well-being to those we don't like or to our enemies. This approach to loving kindness is called tainted love, since our likes and dislikes are based on our preferences. It is grounded in an ego-centered attitude. If our good friends turn out to be harmful to us, our so-called metta toward them immediately shrinks like a feather thrown into the fire. True metta makes no distinction between any living beings. It is like the love of a mother toward her only child, radiating into the world and offered to all living beings unsparingly. Metta is like soothing essential oil. It is always cool, joyful, and filled with delight. When we meditate on loving kindness, the heart feels cool and happy and never burns with fear or anxiety. Metta is always forgiving. No matter how much wrong a person has done to you, you will always forgive them because your love is unconditional. This kind of love will never turn to disappointment or hatred. It is concerned only with helping and is completely free from any destructive impulse. You work for the benefit of others, and when others are benefited, you yourself become happy. Metta has the spirit of accepting others as they are. You do not have the desire to control or change another. Trying to exercise the power of control is a sign of an ego-centered attitude or tainted love. You simply let others be themselves and wish them happiness. The spirit of metta is free from entanglements and judgment. It is total acceptance. As we develop and strengthen the quality of metta in our hearts and minds by wishing all beings good health and happiness, there is no more desire to hurt other living beings. This is called manokama metta, or metta in mental actions. Since speech and action follow the command of the mind, when our mind is filled with metta, we will not utter any harsh or hurtful words to cause harm or suffering to other living beings. Instead, we speak lovingly and beneficially toward all living beings. This is called vachikama metta, or metta in verbal actions. In the same way, our bodily actions also will become benevolent by rendering help rather than causing bodily harm to other living beings. This is known as kayakama metta, or metta in bodily actions. Thus, having metta for others mentally, or in other words, not having even a single thought to hurt other people, we fulfill the practice of morality. When we practice in this way, other living beings do not suffer because of us. They feel safe with us. So metta is the proximate cause for morality, and it is an active aspect, whereas perfection of morality is the effect, which is passive. A heart bereft of metta is often led astray to thoughts of harming others, either through killing, stealing, sexual abuse, or deceit. The world will fall into turmoil without metta. Part 2. The Power of Loving Kindness. Loving kindness as a positive thought can bring about a positive result in oneself as well as in the recipients of metta. Many scientific experiments in Western countries have proven the efficacy of loving kindness and positive thoughts. One such brain science study showed quite clearly that a good mental state brings about positive change in the brain. Whenever one has a wholesome thought such as compassion, patience, or wisdom, that thought can change the neural system in the brain and give positive energy to your brain. This ensures your mental health. A few recent psychological studies discovered that loving kindness meditation impacts health and well-being. One study done at Stanford University suggested that a short 7-minute practice of loving kindness meditation can increase social connectedness. Loving kindness meditation has also been shown to reduce pain and anger in people with chronic lower back pain. Researcher Barbara Fredrickson at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill found that loving kindness meditation can help boost positive emotions and well-being in life, fostering the personal resources that come from experiencing positive emotion. Richard J. Davidson, neuropsychologist at the University of Wisconsin, performed an EEG study of people who practice metta meditation with a minimum of 10,000 hours of practice. His study showed substantial differences in the magnitude of gamma waves as well as gamma synchronization, particularly during meditative sessions and immediately thereafter. During baseline states where the subject was not doing metta, there was a signature brainwave pattern that distinguishes the metta practitioners, lay people, as well as monks, from people who, at baseline, had not extensively practiced loving-kindness meditation. This study also showed that during meditation there was an increase in the activity of brain areas such as the temporoparietal junction, insula, and amygdala, and an increase in the subject's ability to see things from another's perspective. These studies show that the amygdala is modulated during loving-kindness meditation. Loving-kindness meditation has also been shown to lower the participant's reaction to inflammation and distress, both of which are associated with major depression, heart disease, and diabetes, in response to stressors. This change was dependent on the amount of time spent practicing, with practitioners who spent more time meditating having correspondingly more significant changes in their brains. Loving kindness is like a healing balm. It can heal your body and mind and also impact the happiness of others. When we radiate loving kindness to a particular person, that person will respond well toward our loving thoughts. In this way, we indirectly help to support and uplift that person's mental health as well as their physical health. Loving thought produces good mental vibration, and vibrations can travel far. Nowadays, we have good evidence of distance healing through qi. For example, a qigong master in America can heal a patient far away and reach beyond the boundaries of countries. This distance healing results from healing energy that travels far. The mental energy that arises through loving kindness meditation can also travel far and reach the objects no matter where the person is. In Abhidhamma teachings, it is stated that any mind can produce four elements in the body. Among the four elements of earth, water, fire, and wind, the fire element can generate and reproduce another generation of the four elements. The four elements, together with color, smell, taste, and nutritive essence, arise in a group called kalapa, or particles. So the fire element that is the product of a loving mind has the potential to produce another generation of kalapa inside or outside of the body. These are manifested as good vibrations or energy emanating from us that have a positive effect on ourselves and others. How far the fire element can generate or reproduce another generation outside the body depends on the power of the person's thought. If his or her loving kindness is very powerful, the force is also very strong and can bring positive results in another person. Devadatta attempted to kill the Buddha by getting a wild elephant, Nalagiri, drunk and sending him toward the Buddha when the Buddha and a group of his disciples were on alms round. Ananda, out of his love for the Buddha, stepped in front of the elephant to protect the Buddha, but the Buddha told him not to worry because it wasn't possible for him to be harmed. Instead, the Buddha radiated loving kindness toward the elephant, and as Nalagiri approached, his madness was cured. Instead of harming the Buddha, he knelt down as if bowing to him. Here I would like to relate my own personal experience. On one occasion, while living in the forest, I awoke in the middle of the night having been bitten by many small black ants. When I got up, the ants were crawling all over my body. Although they were small in size, the bite of these ants is extremely painful. While it is their nature to bite, it is not my nature to take revenge, even if they attack me. So I tried to pick the ants off my body gently without causing any injury to them. The more I tried, however, the more they seemed to hold on. My skin was starting to become inflamed, and not knowing what else to do, I decided that the best way to deal with them was to radiate loving kindness toward them. I sat down, forgetting the pain the black ants were inflicting on me, and instead, I generated love for them. Joyfully, I repeatedly wished them to be well and happy, with the mind only absorbed in the thought of goodwill for them. To my astonishment, after a short time, most of the ants had stopped biting me. Evidently, my thoughts of love had a soothing effect on their normally aggressive behavior. One or two ants, who must have been slow receivers, continued to bite me. However, as my mind was absorbed in love for them, I just felt the bite, but not the pain. Finally, the ants completely stopped biting me. My goodwill for them had transformed their aggressiveness into friendliness. After this incident, the ants became my friends. They continued to move around the room, but never again on my body. We shared the space in harmony. I thanked them for revealing to me the power of metta. This wonderful experience left a strong impression on my heart. When I do not dwell on my own suffering and instead am filled with love for another, particularly those who have harmed me, bodily pain becomes imperceptible. Before I decided to radiate metta to all these tiny black ants, my mind was slightly annoyed by the pain they inflicted on me. In the course of radiating metta, the pain became much more bearable, even to the extent that the pain became imperceptible. Thus, enduring the pain inflicted on us from others without the slightest anger is not magic. This experience also shows that the thought of metta has healing power. It heals both sides. Armed with metta for others and forgetting the thought of oneself being harmed, the mind becomes serene, unperturbed, and courageous. It is amazing how fearless the mind could become when one forgets one's self. It is not a mystery, then, how the Bodhisattva, Buddha-to-be, could endure the pain of being cut limb by limb in his long samsaric journey to Buddhahood, and still remain infused with love for his torturer. The power of the selfless mind is inexhaustible, and it lies within each of us. It is only a matter of changing our mind to make this power our own. With metta embedded in our heart, we can easily transform our mind when encountering adversity in life. When there's loss, either of one's property or loved ones, unskillful habitual reaction shapes our character. If we habitually react to our suffering by blaming others, the fire of delusion and hatred continues to spread and burn on both sides, to the point where it becomes obsessive and difficult to correct. The wise person sees that suffering and happiness do not come from without, but from within the mind, a mind of love that claims nothing as its own. Asian Buddhists know the power of metta, so they often ask for blessings from virtuous monks and keep the monks busy. Knowing the power of positive thoughts in oneself as well as in others, one's emotions become more manageable. However, many people lack inner confidence, thus lessening or depreciating the power to heal. Generating loving kindness without being confident in the power of loving kindness itself makes the loving kindness toothless or without power. In metta meditation, a high level of confidence is very important. Section 3. The enemy of loving kindness. Buddha urged us to develop loving kindness so that we can remove our inner enemy of hate. Hate robs us of our happiness. However, hate is not the sole enemy of loving-kindness meditation. Loving-kindness has two types of enemies, a near enemy and a far enemy. The near enemy of loving-kindness is affection or attachment. This attachment, which can be disguised as metta, is the near enemy because attachment can easily creep into the heart of loving-kindness without our knowledge. The heart may suddenly fill with desire and burn with affection or lust. Affection is a very good actor. It disguises itself, so we might think it is metta. From affection come fear and grief, but not from metta. If attachment and affection enter the picture, the mind becomes domineering and develops possessiveness, which no longer resembles the spirit of metta. While radiating loving kindness, from time to time we must check our mind and ask, is our metta associated with attachment or not? Is our metta unconditional or not? Since attachment easily creeps in, when taking up this meditation subject, we do not first send loving kindness to our dearest one, such as our spouse or beloved son or daughter. Radiating metta to the dearest person directly may cause attachment to creep into one's heart without one being aware of it. In a commentary to the Pali texts, there is the story of a man who, while taking up this meditation for the first time from a senior monk, radiated metta to his wife first. By the time he finished his meditation, lust had arisen in him, and he ended up wanting to make love with his wife. The far enemy of metta is dosha, or ill will. When the mind is obsessed by hatred, one will find it difficult to radiate loving kindness to anyone, even to oneself. Metta is serene, peaceful, gentle, and forgiving. On the other hand, dosha, or anger and ill will, is burning, harsh, confrontational, and unforgiving. There is a desire to destroy. Whenever there is hatred in the mind, metta ceases to exist. Hatred opposes love. Those who have an angry temper will find it very difficult to radiate loving kindness to anyone. It is precisely for this reason that the Buddha recommends loving kindness meditation as a cure. To carry out this practice, such individuals require skillful training. Section 4. Prerequisites of loving kindness. As mentioned in the Metta Sutta, To cultivate metta, one must be endowed with the good qualities of being upright, compliant, gentle, and contented, and one must not be conceited or impolite. For those who are endowed with all these good qualities, the practice of metta comes easily. Section 5. The Methods of Practicing Loving Kindness. There are two ways to practice loving kindness: developing metta without jhana, and developing metta for the attainment of jhana. First, developing metta without jhana. If a person intends to develop loving kindness without jhana, he or she may think of every being together as all beings and wish, "May all beings be well and happy," repeatedly. This can be done at any moment, whether one is walking or doing chores. All beings includes human beings, heavenly beings, hungry ghosts, animals, birds, fish, and beings in the hell realm. To really have metta for all beings, we must bear in mind that throughout this beginningless cycle of rebirths, we have all been connected. It is impossible to find one who has not been our relative, regardless of race, caste, color, gender, sexual orientation, or even other species besides humans. We ourselves have been one of those beings and will be one of those beings in the future if the productive karmas are not exhausted. Owing to the confusion that descends on our minds between births, we become forgetful of our situation. Our limited vision, through lack of concentration and insight, obstructs us from seeing and even from accepting the cycle of rebirths which have been revealed by those who have omniscient knowledge, or even simply through hypnotherapy. Based on the understanding that we are all connected, we let the love flow from the heart. May I be well and happy. May all beings who have been my relatives before also be well and happy. However much you wish for yourself to be happy, that much you wish for all beings to be happy. Beginners may find this difficult at first because their concentration is still weak and lacks proficiency. Therefore, it is important to keep the phrase short. With more experience, one may add the following sentences: May all beings be free from all enmity and danger. May all beings be free from all mental suffering. May all beings be free from physical suffering. May all beings take care of themselves happily. When we mentally or verbally say all beings, we should incline our mind toward all beings. It is not essential that a picture of all beings arises in the mind. It only matters that we incline our mind toward all beings. If we try to get a mental picture, the mind may become tired. At the beginning, when concentration is still very weak, we may find that metta completely disappears if we think too strongly of a mental picture. When reciting, "May all beings be well and happy," we need to make sure that our wish for their good health, happiness, and peace is genuine and strong. We cultivate the same love for others as we have for ourselves. A person who is practicing metta should regard all beings in the same way as would a mother who cares for her only child. May all beings be happy and peaceful implies that we wish all beings to be free from mental suffering such as worry, grief, anger, depression, anxiety, longing, etc. We have to repeat the phrases over and over again. Take care not to let the reciting become monotonous. Feel the love emanating from your heart while reciting the phrases. If the mind gets tired through repeating the phrase, drop the words and let the mind feel the love. If sleepiness creeps in or the mind fills with worry, anxiety, or restlessness, we must increase our effort by repeating the phrases aloud. Then metta will be able to overpower unwholesome mental states and our practice will proceed much better. Now turning to developing metta for the attainment of jhana. In order to achieve jhana, deep concentration, through loving-kindness meditation, one has to practice systematically. How does one do this? First, radiate loving-kindness to yourself for 20 to 30 minutes. Although radiating loving-kindness to oneself does not result in the attainment of jhana, we should start with ourselves anyway. This is because we must be happy first, Only then can we have genuine love for others. Imagine a gloomy person. Can he or she have love in the heart? Such a person cannot even love himself. A happy person thinks positively and only sees the lovable side of others. Therefore, it is essential to radiate metta to ourselves first until the mind becomes very happy and calm. Only then will we understand how valuable the happiness is for oneself. We start by scanning the body with love from head to toe. Generate love for every part of the body with the words, "May the body be healthy and well." Do it slowly and enjoy it. Make your heart as soft as possible. Only then will the love flow. When you have done this a few times, then gently shift your attention to your heart area and mentally wish, "May the heart be peaceful and loving." Visualize yourself lying in the arms of a loving mother. The heart is fully content, free from all worries and anxieties. Gradually, you feel your heart abiding in a state of peace and contentment. However, if we are the only person in the world who is happy and the rest are all unhappy, we cannot truly be happy. For us to be happy, everyone must be happy. Therefore, we must extend our love to others, wishing them to be happy like us. To make metta arise more easily in the heart, one must first think of a respected person of the same gender who is still living, and extend one's love to that person. It can be our teacher or a lovable friend, but it must be someone who is not too intimate. His or her virtue should generate your confidence. Calling all his or her virtues to mind from the very bottom of the heart, one wishes, "May he or she be well, happy, and peaceful." You can also remember all the good deeds she or he has done. Having gratitude softens the heart and makes it easy to feel love for him or her. Traditionally, we use four phrases when practicing metta as follows. May all beings be free from enmity and danger. May all beings be free from all mental suffering. May all beings be free from physical suffering. May all beings take care of themselves happily. For beginners, choosing one phrase of the four is enough. Or if you prefer, you can choose any other phrase that you feel most suits the respected person. For example, may you be happy and peaceful. So think of one respected person and radiate loving kindness to him or her constantly by repeating the phrase up to 100 or 1,000 times. However, saying the words without genuine love is futile. While wishing, "May you be well and happy," we do it softly, gently, and lovingly. At first, his or her face may not be clear in the mind, but as you continue to let the love flow out from the heart and as concentration progresses, the face of the respected one becomes clear and it becomes apparent that he or she is smiling. The smile intensifies your happiness. As a result of this happiness, your concentration deepens. The loving mind becomes steady with the object. When the mind becomes happy and concentration deepens, a light will appear. Both the object and mind will become bright because of concentration. The metta developed toward this person continuously for 1 or 2 hours uninterruptedly reaches jhana concentration. Thus, loving kindness meditation also produces light. One becomes more and more peaceful, and the mind becomes absorbed with love for the object. This is the way to achieve jhana through loving kindness meditation. Metta meditation leads to attainment of the third jhana, but not the fourth jhana. Why is this so? Because the fourth jhana has only two jhana factors, equanimity, upeka, and one-pointedness, ekagata, of mind. It has transcended sukha, or happiness, and loving-kindness meditation is strongly associated with happiness. Happiness is its end. Therefore, one cannot reach the fourth jhana through loving-kindness meditation, since it has only equanimity and one-pointedness, but does not have sukha. After successfully attaining jhana by radiating love to the respected person, one changes to another respected person or dear friend to make the metta more powerful. Then one moves to the second category of person, namely a neutral person, a person you neither like nor dislike. Keeping her or his image in mind, we send our loving thoughts to this person. May he or she be well and happy. Or we call her or his name. May Jane or may Jack be well and happy. Until our mind becomes calm, peaceful, and happy. The image persists and the love flows and embraces the neutral person. One continues this for 1 or 2 hours until one reaches the first jhana. The last category of person in loving-kindness meditation is an enemy. The enemy may not necessarily be a person whom we dislike. He or she could be one who just dislikes us. Sending loving-kindness to this person is a challenge. Sending loving-kindness to oneself, to a respected or dear person, or even to a neutral person is considered easy. But sending loving-kindness to an enemy is a great challenge. That's why we do it last, after having developed some skill in this practice. One of my students reported that when sending loving-kindness to an enemy, I end up with anger and I want to punch him. Another reported, I'm so worried that my enemy will become well and happy. This isn't an easy task, is it? To avoid having your meditation end up in anger, skillful means are needed. First, one should not choose the enemy one hates the most. One should choose the enemy one hates the least, because one's love is still conditional, not unconditional. It is not necessary to challenge yourself by sending loving kindness to your greatest enemy. Just choose an enemy that you hate the least to test it out first. This will let you know how much mental strength has been developed. If we fail, we must learn to forgive others first. Forgiveness is the art of compassion through non-judgment and acceptance of oneself and others. In the long cycle of births and deaths, often we do wrong to others. Sometimes others do wrong to us. Shall we carry the grudge along through life and make ourselves unhappy? To forgive others is, in fact, being kind to ourselves. If we succeed in sending loving kindness to the person we hate the least, then we can move on to another enemy that we hate more. If this meditation is not successful, go back to the respected person until the mind becomes happy and concentrated. Based on the power of concentration thus developed, it becomes easy to send loving kindness to the hated one. If that is successful, move on again until we come to our greatest enemy, if we have one. In fact, the greatest enemy is our own ego-centeredness, grounded on ignorance. We regard others as our enemies when we are harmed by them. Is not the harm we experience now the result of our unskillful actions done in the past? When we inflict pain on others, shall we not feel the same pain and suffering they are feeling? The law of karma says all actions have their reactions. With this understanding, we shall not harbor any hate to anyone, even if we are harmed. When the fire of hate is left unchecked, it proliferates through life after life. We suffer not because of our enemy, but by our own hate. Not harboring any hatred for anyone, who else can be our enemy? But for this practice, you still have to choose a person who is a real enemy that you hate. For those who have no enemy at all, this is a blessing. Alas, even though we have only love for others, some may not like us owing to their own reasons, just as Lord Buddha hated no one, and yet Devadatta did not like him. So Devadatta is considered his enemy, although Buddha loved him like his own son. You can take the person who does not like you as the object of metta meditation. Loving kindness meditation is capable of improving the relationship between yourself and the hated person. By constantly radiating loving kindness to those who do not like us, we are sure to soften their hearts and win a battle hard to win. If you are successful in sending loving kindness to an enemy, whether a person for whom you have a slight dislike or a person who is your greatest enemy, then it is necessary to practice again among the 4 groups of people until our metta to them is equal. This is known as breaking the barrier, or metta without discrimination. To summarize, we have four groups of people: oneself, a respected or dear person, a neutral person, and an enemy. Now your task is to break the barrier. What does that mean? It means your love for these four groups of people must be the same and without any discrimination. If your love for yourself is more than your love for another, or if your love for any one of the four is more than for the others, the barrier is still there. If you find it easy to send loving kindness to yourself or to your respected person, but not to the neutral one, the barrier is still there. If you can easily radiate love to yourself, the respected person, and a neutral person, but not to the enemy, the barrier is still there. So in order to break this barrier, you have to send loving kindness to yourself, the respected person, the neutral person, and the enemy over and over again until you feel that your love for the four types of persons is equal. Then you have broken the barrier. Suppose there are four groups of people gathered in a ship, and a robber wants to kill one of the four persons. Whom should you give away to be killed among these four persons? Yourself, the loved one, the neutral person, or your enemy? If you think you should sacrifice yourself in order to save others, this is compassion and not loving kindness, because you do not have love for yourself. If you give away your enemy, thinking he deserves to be killed, your metta is still tainted by discrimination. So no one should be given away to be killed. If you choose any one of the four to be given away to the robber, this is a sign of partiality. Your loving kindness is not equal among the four. Recognizing this partiality and overcoming it by letting I absorb in the all without any distinction whatsoever, this is how one breaks the barrier. Only then does your loving kindness become unconditional and without bias or preference. This is the culmination of metta. One may also develop the practice of metta without discrimination in this way. May I be well, happy, and peaceful. May my beloved person also be well, happy, and peaceful. May I be well, happy, and peaceful. May my respected person also be well, happy, and peaceful. May I be well, happy, and peaceful. May my neutral person also be well, happy, and peaceful. May I be well, happy, and peaceful. May my enemy also be well, happy, and peaceful. May I be well, happy, and peaceful. May my beloved person, my respected person, my neutral person, and my enemy all be well, happy, and peaceful. All the above mentioned constitute the traditional way of practicing metta. Here, I would also like to recommend another way of practice. Through my teaching experiences, I have found that many people, especially Westerners, have difficulty radiating metta to themselves. To overcome such difficulties, one can divide I into mind and body, the latter of which consists of the elements. Paying attention to one's body, mentally recite, "May the four elements of the body be well and balanced," repeatedly. Or while mentally reciting, "May the four elements of the body be well and balanced," at the same time scan the body from the top of the head down to the toes, repeatedly. After 20 to 30 minutes, radiate metta to your mind thus: "May this mind element be happy, peaceful, and contented," or whatever words suit you most. Say this repeatedly until you feel happy and peaceful. Many of my students find this way of practicing metta is soothing and achieves the end. In the same way, we can divide the respected person, neutral person, and enemy into the four elements and the mind element, and wish them to be well and happy. By separating a being into elements, attachment, which is the near enemy of metta, cannot creep into our heart while we are radiating metta to the loved one, and the anger, which is the far enemy of metta, will not burn the undeveloped mind while radiating metta to an enemy. It is also a reminder to us that in the ultimate sense, only the four elements and the mind exist. There are no persons, beings, respected ones, or enemies. Section 6, The Blessings of Practicing Loving Kindness. There are 11 blessings for those who practice loving kindness constantly. One sleeps happily. One wakes up happily. One does not suffer bad dreams. Nowadays, to sleep and wake up happily without bad dreams has become a luxury. Many people have to depend on sleeping pills in order to have sound sleep. Practicing loving kindness ensures that you sleep happily and wake up happily. One is dear to human beings. When you radiate loving kindness to all sentient beings, a very wholesome and pure vibration comes from your heart and reaches others. And as a result, others love you. We are so preoccupied with relationship suffering and put so much of our time and energy into worrying about relationships, be it with partners, family members, neighbors, or coworkers. This result of loving kindness is a great blessing because it helps us with relationships and makes life more joyful. One is dear to non-human beings. See how the Metta Sutta came into existence. One is protected by heavenly beings. Devas and all the heavenly beings protect one who has loving kindness. That's why loving kindness is one of the four protective meditations. One is protected from fire, weapons, and poisons. While radiating loving kindness, one cannot be easily harmed by any weapons because the power of love forms a protective field or net that cannot be pierced by weapons. Many stories from the Buddha's time show how one is protected from weapons when radiating metta. King Udaina had two wives, Samavati, who was a devoted disciple of the Buddha, and Magandhya, who bore a grudge against the Buddha and towards Samavati as well. Magandhya plotted to make King Udaina believe that Samavati was trying to kill him. Believing her lie, King Udaina went to shoot Samavati with his bow and arrow. But upon seeing King Udaina and understanding his intention, Samavati entered into metta-jhana. When the arrow reached her, it dropped to the ground without touching her at all. One is able to concentrate easily. When practicing loving kindness, one feels abundant happiness. The Buddha said that happiness is the proximate cause for concentration. Thus, one's mind easily becomes concentrated up to the attainment of the third jhana. One has a clear and serene facial expression. When one has metta in the heart, one's expression becomes clear and serene. This is because the loving mind produces many clear, mind-born particles. Among the eight elements in those particles, the color becomes very bright. As a result, the facial expression also becomes clear. This is natural beauty, unlike the artificial appearance that comes from putting different colors of makeup on the face. Those women who love beauty should practice more loving kindness meditation. 10. One dies unburdened or one dies peacefully. It is a great blessing to be unburdened as death approaches. Many die in a state of confusion, fear, and bewilderment, departing from one's own body, from a lovely son, daughter, and spouse, or from property earned with hard work may be deemed by some people to be the hardest thing to do. Most people, while alive, enjoy the comfort of their homes, property, and association with loved ones. What we habitually hold on to becomes extremely difficult to let go of, even while we are alive, let alone when death approaches. Not wanting to depart from those things, most people die in fear and confusion. Being reborn in one of the four woeful states is expected for a person who dies in fear. A person who dies with a mind unburdened because of loving kindness is sure to be reborn either in a human realm or higher realm. This is indeed a great blessing. As Buddhists, we are not working for this life only, but also for a happy existence in the next life. 11. One may be reborn in the Brahma world when one dies. When a yogi meditates on loving kindness, which is a concentration object, he can move on to vipassana and progress through different stages of insight. If he fails to become a noble one, a sotapanna, sakadagami, anagami, or arahant, he will at least be reborn in the Brahma world if he can maintain his jhana up to his dying moment. In addition to all these 11 blessings, metta, the embodiment of universal love, is very much needed in this self-oriented world. If we can regard each other with a loving heart in the spirit of oneness, the world will be a better place in which to live. Section 7. How the Metta Sutta Came into Existence. The Metta Sutta is a very popular sutta in the Theravadin tradition. The Buddha first taught the Metta Sutta to a group of 500 monks, each of whom went into the forest with one alms bowl and a set of three robes. After they had walked for about 100 yojanas, they came to a large village. The people of this village asked them to stay in the adjacent forest for Vasa, the three-month retreat that takes place during the rainy season. This large forest was very calm and quiet, entirely free from the noise that can normally be heard in many villages and small towns. There were many tall trees and clusters of bamboo, and the forest was extremely dense, so that the thick foliage prevented much sunlight from hitting the ground. There was also a little creek, which made it very pleasant and peaceful, and not very far from this bamboo grove was a village where they could walk on their alms round. The monks decided to stay in this forest as it seemed to be a very congenial place for them to practice meditation. After the decision had been made, the villagers built 500 huts and offered them to the monks, so they could spend the Vasa there. After all the huts were finished, each of the monks moved into a hut and started to practice Vipassana meditation. With the arrival of the monks, who were endowed with Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom, the forest devas who lived in the trees were afraid to stay there any longer. Holding on to their children, they wandered aimlessly about the forest paths. The devas initially thought that the monks were only temporary visitors who would not stay very long, perhaps only one or two days, and then leave. However, the monks did not leave after a few days, but stayed at first for 10 days and then another 5 days. Soon the devas began to suffer from the way they had to live, and they hoped that the monks would soon leave, so that they could live there happily. To make the monks leave, they created frightening noises and emitted bad odors. All the monks became terrified, and as a result, their fear broke their concentration. Some of the monks suffered from fever and pain, while others felt dizzy. They felt that it was impossible for them to continue their meditation practice. Finally, they went back to Jetavana Monastery, where the Buddha was residing during Vasa. When the Buddha saw them, he asked them why they had come back, and they told him exactly what had happened. After the monks had related their tale, they asked the Buddha to suggest a suitable place for them to meditate. The Buddha answered, "My beloved monks, go back to exactly the same forest and practice your meditation there." Hearing this, the monks replied, "Please do not send us back to that forest. It is impossible to practice meditation there." Understanding their anxiety, the Buddha said, "Dear monks, you went there to practice meditation without a weapon. Therefore, you have encountered many distractions and difficulties. This time, however, I will give you a weapon." Then the Buddha gave them a powerful weapon, the Metta Sutta. The monks did not dare to contradict the wishes of the Buddha and went back armed with the Metta Sutta. However, the monks still did not feel very brave. They lived with feelings of fear and anxiety because they never knew when or where they might come across a frightening vision or a maddening sound. Nevertheless, because of the virtuous quality of their metta practice, the monks did not see or hear any more frightening objects. Whereas the devas had previously been hostile, now their anger and resentment disappeared when they felt the monks' metta. Feeling this metta, the devas' minds were filled with respect and reverence, and they welcomed the monks and paid their respects. They went up to the monks, took their alms bowls and spare robes, and carried these things to their respective huts. They welcomed them, as they might have welcomed their own parents, brothers, or sisters after a journey to a distant country. They no longer attacked or taunted them. The devas even provided safety from other dangers and supported the monks, so that they could practice meditation peacefully. Metta is without doubt a very powerful and wholesome force that can always be depended upon for protection. In fact, all 500 monks practiced Vipassana meditation with metta meditation as their foundation. Since they were able to practice meditation peacefully, they were all able to abandon all defilements and became arahants during that vasa. The Buddha had foreseen this, and for this reason he had sent them back to the forest. When the monks reflected on this incident, they realized that they had encountered many difficulties and hindrances because they had tried to practice vipassana meditation without the beneficial protection of metta meditation. After consulting the Buddha, they heeded his advice and first practiced metta meditation and then vipassana meditation. Only then were they free from all dangers, undisturbed mentally or physically, culminating eventually in the attainment of nibbana.